You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. You can find us on Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, all that wonderful stuff at clockradiospeakers.com. And of course, I'm joined by DOC, No One Can Do It Better, like this, that, and this.
The whitest half of Clock Radio Speakers, the... what's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats, S not a Z. So it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's summertime. So it's nice to be able to, because music releases are still a little slow. We've actually got some music to talk about this week.
Jeez. Honestly, it feels like we spent the last 6 weeks talking NBA. Before then, we were talking about like March Madness. Like, we haven't really talked about any music this year. And if we have talked about it, it wasn't worth, you know, we know that you do your track by tracks, but like, I'm only going to do track by tracks on albums that deem themselves worthy of track by track. And, you know, 2014 has not been a year of the album at all.
Right. It's been a year of the single and, you know, represented best of all by DJ Mustard, who ironically has an album coming out.
Look at that.
And so the album's called, what, 10 Summers?
Yeah, something like that.
So, Armand, you haven't seen the cover yet. I want you to go to rabradar.com.
All right, hold on.
I'm going to do it with everybody so everybody can hear the key clicks at home. Let me tell you how far down you got to scroll. Hold on.
I'm on, you heard that new. So I'm pulling up on my phone.
All right.
1 second. Like, my man...
There's a lot of detail here.
There is absolutely, like, he saw somebody do this on Instagram and was like, I want to replicate that for my album cover.
So,
like, filters and everything.
Right. A couple things. Like, he is in black and white in the main, like, not the mirror reflection.
Is he?
But then his jacket is in color. But then when he sees himself in the mirror, he's in full color. And the background's in black and white. But then when you see this extra reflections, he's just in regular color.
Yeah.
I put way too much thought into that.
That means that the way that you see yourself needs to be more important than what you actually are. Boom. Boom. Pow.
So album comes out.
Figured it out. I have solved the Rubik's Cube of the DJ Mustard album cover.
Give
my money.
So album comes out August 12th.
Do you like that coming out around back to school, given Mustard Sound, or do you think that should have came out?
Is there a single on here? Is Down On Me, is that doing anything?
2 Chainz and I don't know. Dog, literally, like, every time I turn the radio on, every song sounds exactly the same.
Right.
Either I'm getting old or, like, music is really starting to get, like, repetitive. Repetitive a few years ago, now it's, like, really repetitive.
Well, part of it is... This is his run. I mean, I'll tell you that the quality was different because obviously we're more fans of the Neptunes and DJ Mustard. But how is this really that much different than when the Neptunes took that same sound and ran it into the ground 13, 14 years ago?
Sure. Right? And even then we got tired of that too. Like, all
right,
right. Switch it up.
Now, granted, no offense to anybody who likes DJ Mustard. Like, some of these beats knock, definitely. But listen, that first Neptunes run, I mean, come on, let's be serious. But
I don't even think anybody's comparing that. That's
right,
that's,
right. But I'm saying in terms of
apples in like newspaper.
Hold on. We got a title for Side A. Give me a second.
Apples in newspaper. I like this idea of you taking random like tidbits from the conversation and making it the title. I think that works.
I'm trying to give people a reason to listen.
Yeah.
While still, you know, we're using the tags and SoundCloud so people can still search and find what they want to find.
Sure.
But the album's going to be released for free through Google Play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is this... Didn't Busta do that?
Big Bang Busta Rhymes. Is he not on... Cash Money? Isn't that what you said?
No, he's not on Young Money anymore.
Young Money.
Yeah.
A subdivision of Cash Money. A subdivision of, you know.
Universal subdivision.
Of Raping You Records, a subdivision.
Raping You. He's not on Cash Money anymore. So, didn't he just put out a single? Am I tripping?
Busta? Yeah, Calm Down with Eminem.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, yeah, that's whatever ELE 2 is coming out on.
Of all we talked about that in a previous episode. Really, ELE 2, that's the...
Listen, what are you going to do? When Disaster Strikes 2? When Disaster Strikes Again?
The Coming 2?
what are we coming to? Ha 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 ha.
I don't know. This would be like if Nas was like, you know what? I'm gonna make I Am Too.
Still Matic.
still.
Blueprint 4?
Ugh, don't even. Look, we're getting caught. I mean, those are at least, that's at least an iconic name. ELE, is that, well, that's interesting. I mean, it says a lot about how he feels about his discography. Listen, that he goes,
do we need to do a Busta Rhymes retro?
If only so I can listen to Everything Remains Raw at an obnoxious volume.
One of the greatest songs in hip hop history.
When that intro comes on.
Oh my God.
Right.
I miss that in rap videos. Like, rappers, even aspiring rappers, do like 15 seconds of like your dopest song that's not going to get played on the radio, but is incredibly dope on your album. Do 15 seconds of that and then switch over to your single.
By
Nas
the way,
did it with The Message.
Oh, such a classic. Oh, see, on, why man. You got to do that to me?
Come on,
now,
man.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you realize the thought I just had.
What's that?
Now, think of what you and I worked on this weekend as an intro to something.
Yeah, we could do that.
Right.
We could totally do that.
We could, you know, listen to ourselves.
And then you put out the video and then, like, back in the days where MTV wouldn't play certain rap videos. Oh, wait, back in the day, like they do that now. Like, but there was a point where like Rap City played, like their hip hop was way more diverse, way more underground than what was being played on UMTV Raps. So like they do like the snippet video.
Right.
And even the box, like then you watch the box and you'd watch Rap City and they would have a full version of that video that was just completely grimy and MTV just didn't want anything to do with it.
Right. There were two different ways to do the like snippet of a song. There's the intro, like where you gotta like it comes before the video, which is kind of risky. It's gotta work perfectly. The Message and If I Ruled the World might be the best example of that ever.
Yes. That might be the GOAT. I'm not mad at that.
Right. Does the, you know, One Life, One Love, There Can Be One King ends with the snap and then cuts
Snaps
right over.
Straight into If I Ruled the World.
Perfect. Now the other way is to package it at the end, right? A la Knock Yourself Out and We Gonna Make It.
Didn't AZ do that with Do or Die and Mo Money, Mo Murder, Mo Homicide or something like that?
I don't know if I've ever actually seen that video, to be honest with you.
Another
example of that is Forgot About Dre and then the Hitman song that never actually went anywhere.
Oh, wow. Shout out to Hitman.
Off that Forgotten. I'm pretty sure I have that somewhere. The Hitman Aftermath project that had like one Dre beat. A bunch of I don't know who beats, and then
it was Mailman, wasn't it?
Was that still Mailman?
I think so.
Shout out to Mailman. I bet you he's got stories.
Sure. Oh man, I would love to pick his brain. Absolutely. What about in the middle?
Right. So well, then the other was a two parter. So there was like Nori did Grimy, and what was the other record?
Was it Oh No?
Nah, I don't know if it was
Full Mode.
Yeah, maybe. I think it was like a Violator compilation thing. Oh, no, wait. They packaged Grimy with What It Is. Remember? Or was it something
kinda,
else? I feel like that's kinda the same thing.
I remember Violator would drop like three singles and they'd all be like crazy.
Right. Well, Violator was, you know. And they were managed. People forget they were originally a management company. That's an interesting thing to do in terms of doing a compilation. Of course, Wu did Shadowbox and Fourth Chamber.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. That's classic. Yeah, that's classic too.
Right. That's a classic combo.
I know. Speaking of awkward compilations.
Say, anything else you want to say about DJ Mustard?
Speaking of awkward compilation, shout out to my homegirl who referenced the FUBU compilation in random conversation today. Even rapping a few bars from the hit song 50 Killers Deep.
Wow.
Yeah. Just rap them verbatim. Amazing.
Which version of Fatty Girl you like better?
The original with the sample?
No, actually, the Trackmaster's version is better. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Nah. That's the one with the sample.
No. The video version. No. That's that.
With the guitar.
Yeah. That's the Trackmaster's version. There's another version that actually has the na 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 at the beginning.
I remember that vaguely.
Right.
I almost want to pull that up.
We have honestly lost 85% of our listeners right now.
No, we have not. I'm going to pull this up.
We just segued from DJ Mustard to FUBU.
To Fatty Girl. Of course, my phone doesn't want to play.
I'm so looking at this track list for DJ Mustard.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Dos. I'm seeing some Dos Cadenas. I'm seeing TC. I'm seeing, what else we got on here? You know.
Dom Kennedy, right, Nipsey Hussle, YG, Big Jeezy. Sean.
So wait, he's got a record, Lil Wayne, Big Sean, YG, and Boosie. That's interesting.
It's interesting.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right.
That could work.
Yeah. Big work. Sean's in it. I don't know. We're going to talk about Big Sean in a second. Well, not a second.
Are
later
we?
On.
Oh, yeah, we are. We are. We are. We are. Yeah. I was like, are we? For what?
You're like, who?
Not yet. Not. Speaking of which, we need to come up with those shirts. Like,
who?
Because now I find myself saying it a lot more in conversation.
Who? Like, it's a total ripoff of Arrested Development where, I don't know if you ever see that show.
Nah.
Where one of the characters is dating this girl that's so unforgettable that everybody, when they talk about it, they just go, her? Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so DJ Mustard's got a record, August 12th. I mean, maybe we'll talk about it. What do you think? There might not be anything else to talk about.
Honestly, if it's good, we'll talk about it.
The real question is going to be, did he give away everything?
Yes. Yeah, I'm wondering if this is the thing where it's like, you know, all right, I'm going to give you these beats at a discount if you do this for my album. And then in turn, you know, the artist gives him like B and C verses.
Although, look, let's be honest. As long as the hook and the beat is good enough on the DJ Mustard, I don't think people are really looking to this for A-plus performances. Am I wrong?
I don't know. It depends on what he got from, you know, people like T-Fly and Ty Dolla $ign and, you know, hook-heavy artists. Like, if they...
Right, right.
If they hooked them up, then yeah.
Right, and I kind of like, you know, I don't know. I think Jeezy on Mustard beats kind of works in a weird way.
I do not. No. I don't know what I want from Jeezy right now.
Yeah, you want Trap or Die.
No, I don't even know if I want Trap or Die. I don't know if I want I don't know if I want the Recession. I have no idea what I want from Jeezy.
See,
which may work to his advantage for this new album.
It's too bad that when we were talking about earlier about sort of hypothetical sequels for people's albums, it used to be able to just throw like 2000 at the end of everything.
Judgment Day 2000, T2000.
I mean, how hyped would you have been for Trap or Die 2000? That just sounds amazing.
I mean, you know, we was hyped for Trap or Die 2, which has some joints.
It does. It does.
Which when Jeezy was going through that dry spell,
right.
Had he sat on some of those records between Trap or Die 2, the mixtape he did with Shawty Red, and a couple of those other.
Shawty Red, man, why you have to say that?
Couple of those, like if he put those together and put like a good 14 or 15 track, like he would have had like a maybe possibly.
He has two. Class.
Yeah,
his two are
The Recession and 101.
101's not a classic. We need to talk Jeezy. So aside from DJ Mustard, we got some big names doing some big name interviews.
Yeah. We've got some people breaking silence.
You want to talk about Kanye or Kendrick?
Let's do Kendrick first because Kendrick's interview was pretty. I think Kanye's interview said a lot, and I think we need to delve into that. So let's get Kendrick out the way.
One thing I thought that was interesting about the Kendrick interview. This is just a small detail. A Kendrick guest verse right now costs $250,000.
Right.
He once charged $400,000.
How many people pay for that? Is my question.
Well, you got to think about who would have had a budget and who would have needed $400,000.
Right.
I'm trying to think who, but
there's got to be. Let's pull up his wiki with his discog and see
that Robin Thicke record.
And that's the only thing I can think of is like R&B money. Or pop budget. That would have been the only thing R&B or pop budget because there's no way he's getting $400,000 for a rock out or for a rap album.
It explains why they've made that a single because I could just see Robin Thicke's management back. Sitting there going, we paid $400,000. We're getting a video.
Miguel, didn't he have the How Many Drinks remix or something like that?
Nah. Cause remember, like if you look at Robin Thicke's album, they had a little bit of time. First of all, on the same label, they're both on Interscope, right?
Is Robin Thicke on Interscope?
I thought he was.
Okay.
Maybe not. But anyway, so Robin Thicke, last year when the single starts blowing up, the label's got big dollar signs.
Yeah.
So if they slip in that Kendrick verse, like if it's if you assume maybe it's late enough in the process where they know they're going to try to sell a lot of these, maybe.
Yeah. I'm looking right now. Okay, so from 2013, he had problems, which the interview said was originally for his album.
Which is kind of interesting because that's a Drake beat.
Yeah, 40 did that, right?
40 and Drake.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, remember because he's credited as Champagne Poppy?
No. All right. I'm sure we laughed about that on the show.
We did. We did.
He has a Dido feature. I'm sure he got money for that.
Right.
Frank Anthony, I have no idea who that is. The Lonely Island, did he get money for that?
Probably. Maybe that's a...
I don't know. Because that's like right there. Like, right. I don't know. Nobody, like, everybody knows who the Lonely Island is, but I don't know if people expect the Lonely Island to sell a nice amount of records. There's the Miguel record. There's the 50 Cent record. I'm sure he didn't get that. Solange.
Nah.
Bridget Kelly.
Nope.
Hope Wright, whoever that is. Collard Greens. Fragile.
It'd be funny if it'd be really messed up if they took $400K out of Schoolboy Q's budget for that. That would be awful.
That would be terrible. Fragile with Tech N9ne. Nah, he didn't get that.
The joint with Eminem.
Oh yeah, he could have got that. He could have got it for that. That would be a rap feature that'd be a rap budget that he could have got. Forbidden Fruit. Yep, Robin Thicke, Fredo. Here we go. Imagine Dragons, Radioactive. Oh, he got bread for that.
Well, now hold on. So instead, we could sit here all day and try to figure this out. But what I'm interested in is, in this day and age, with the situation the music industry's in. Look, I like Kendrick. I think he's amazing. I can't wait to hear his follow up. Good Kid, M.A.A.D City is the best debut album since, I don't know. Pick your choice. $250,000.
That's still kind of crazy.
Like
the way the industry is right now.
Well, right. Like think of someone like Drake, where Drake is selling more records. To me, it's more of a guarantee that a Drake feature might get you on the radio.
Yeah.
Like $250,000 for a Kendrick verse. If you're a rapper, why? So he can outshine you? Like, I don't understand. You know? Because, like, Kendrick, he's not really... It's not... It'd be like if in 95, Nas was charging $250,000 for verses from, like, Mobb Deep. Like, what are you going to... You going to go pop off that? You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying, though? Like, that's just boggling my mind right now. But, hey, between touring and the guest verse, there you go. Go get your money, man.
I did go back and listen to... This interview made me listen to Good Kid, M.A.A.D City.
And
I... Still amazing,
right? It's incredible.
Ironically, I skipped through the skits.
I can understand that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to hear the attention to detail in the verses that they described from the article, and right. Then after that, there was another article underneath that had the making of Good Kid, M.A.A.D City. Of course, I love those where they talk to all the producers and all
right.
That. So I read that and I was listening for, as an artist, you listen for what the other artist was thinking of and, you know, how features got on the same page and all that stuff. So,
right.
I was listening for that, but the album is still crazy. Still super, super crazy.
So what we learned from the interview is that aside from him making a ton of money from features is that he's not done with the album.
Yep.
Is that they claim that they made 50 to 60 tracks for Good Kid, M.A.A.D City and then narrowed it down.
Yeah.
I don't... That's interesting and kind of terrifying at the same time. If you assume that that's true, but you also assume that the way that Good Kid, M.A.A.D City ended up was on purpose, that it tells a story, if you buy into all that, which you should because it does, then that's a heck of a team that they have to craft that out of... all the songs they did. I feel like that number is a little inflated. I feel like that number is, we made this many records during the studio sessions for Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, but I have a hard time believing that when they were sitting there trying to figure out what tracks go where, that all 50 to 60 were in play. That seems impossible. Because, do you know what I'm saying? Because if they had this narrative arc, how does that even work?
So, you mean to tell me, you expect me to not believe that a rapper... and his team inflated a fact?
I'm just saying. You know what? It's kind of Pac's fault.
I agree with that.
It's the myth of the work ethic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm in the studio. I made... And actually, you know, Kanye famously, right? 5 beats a day for 3 summers. It's this very sort of, oh, I made 500 records and I narrowed it down to 12. No, you didn't. Shut up.
Right.
Right. I mean, sure. if you want to count it as while the budget was running, whatever you got from your label, while the numbers were trickling down to zero, you made X amount of songs possible. Sure, maybe. But those weren't all songs for your album that were in serious contention.
Right.
Right. But
now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I forgot I was going to say number.
All right. So they're predicting fourth quarter.
Yeah, they got to do fourth quarter.
It's too bad it's not closer. I would say strike quicker. Nothing's going on.
Nothing.
Strike quick before Kanye does something. Strike quick before, you know.
And segueing into this Kanye interview, he's absolutely doing something this year.
Of course he is. What an interesting interview.
Extremely interesting.
You've been critical of Kanye lately.
Have I? I've been critical of Yeezus. Have I been critical of Kanye?
You've been critical of most stuff Kanye's done since, this is going to sound horrible, since his mom died.
Because it hasn't been that good.
Right.
Except for Good Friday and a good chunk of Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I'm not even going to entertain this fantasy world you live in. But, like, he is at the same time almost incredibly too self-aware of who he is, but also kind of oblivious at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Just judging by the fact that he made a 45-minute toast to himself, yes, I'd say so. I'd say that would be an accurate depiction of your statement.
What do you think about his assertion that that Drake took his spot?
He's got to admit that. I think he did that when he went to OVO Fest last year.
Right.
He conceded.
Right. What do you think about the concept that he doesn't even know if he wants it back?
It's what happens when you get older. I think his goals have changed.
Mm.
That's what this interview said to me. This interview says to me that now I have a family. I have a different sense of purpose than I did 5 years ago, 3 years ago, which as a human, you should. You should reach a certain goal. Then you should get a whole different set of goals and reach and whatever. I mean, because if you're 80 years old and you want to be the best rapper alive, like, you know what I'm saying? You crazy. But if you're 20 and you want to be the best rapper alive, sure. That's a little more, that makes a little more sense. So I just think, I think his priorities have just changed. And I'm not mad at that at all.
Right. I don't think Kanye will be Jay-Z.
I think he finally knows that he's not going to be Jay-Z.
But I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely it is.
He will, right, like, you know, the sports comparisons are, you know, we always love to make them, right, where Jay has always called himself the Mike Jordan of rap, right, whereas Kanye has, in various different times, compared himself to, say, LeBron, right? I think the comparisons are interesting because Kanye has other interests in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He will be able to walk away and be okay. If Jay-Z's not making a rap record, if he's not making a rap record every 12 to 18 months, I don't know what he's doing.
I agree with that.
It's like my grandfather retired, like, you know, almost, he's 70 years old now, but he was like in his late 60s when he finally retired. He worked at a factory like his whole life. He didn't even know what, you know, he's looking for projects. Like, he's bored. He works. Like, that's what he does. Like, Jay, he raps. Like, that's all he knows.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that's kind of interesting is, like, as much as I realize you don't like Yeezus, Kanye's output over the past 5 years really has basically been, like, he's checking off these, I don't want to say checking off these boxes, but it's like, I think he realizes that it's not a question of if he can, it's a question of does he want to. Like, did he, you know, he teamed up with Jay, they did Watch the Throne, they sold a ton of records, they made a lot of money on tour, they won a bunch of Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
He actually spent time, like, we, you know, good music has been around for a long time, but aside from Common and John Legend at the early stages, not a whole lot really ever came out of good music. Until Big Sean got a couple albums out. Of all things, Pusha T finally got a real album. Yeah. That was really good, actually.
Yeah. Common? Common put out two albums and a good music.
He did. But I'm saying, like, early on, good music had this nice momentum.
Okay.
Right. But then I was saying there's, like, this period. So, like, you know, so Kanye's kind of doing all these things, like, he wants to put out a record that, you know, you don't like it, others don't like it. I think it's really good. He puts out Yeezus, which is basically he can do whatever he wants. Like, I think for him, it's almost like, I think the comment about, you know, does he want the spot back is basically, it's an interesting place for an artist to be where they are aware of the quote unquote competition. And it's not like he feels like he has to do it. It's like, does he even want to do it?
Right. It's similar to, it's funny you compare Kanye to LeBron, because I think, you know, what LeBron did last week is similar to what Kanye's doing. You know, among many things that LeBron, going back to Cleveland, said one of the things that really stood out to me was it was LeBron saying, I'll never be Jordan. So now my goals are going to be different. And now he wants to focus on, among other things, one of his goals is focusing on the state of Ohio, city of Cleveland, Akron, all that good stuff. Similar to what Kanye is doing. Kanye's like, yo, I want to be a family man. I want to take over fashion. And I want to make the music that literally, like, I've been critical. I've called Kanye insecure. I've called him all these things. But like, that interview to me reeks of, I'm going to do what I want to do. These are my goals. And I have my inner circle who I care about their opinions. I care about how they feel about what I do. But anything outside of that is no longer my concern.
Right.
But granted, Kanye prior to really cared about what Yeezus thought. I think even though I didn't like Yeezus, I wouldn't be surprised if Yeezus was something that he had to make to break himself out of his own shell. Like, let me make something completely different. So now this is me taking a hammer to the house that I've built, and now I can build whatever I want and live in it.
Right. I wouldn't disagree with that. The obvious place where the sort of LeBron, Jordan, you know, Jay, Kanye thing breaks down is LeBron's wired differently than Jordan, but at the end, in the similar way that Kanye is wired differently than Jay, but at the end of the day, Jordan's numbers and championships, that's what matters, right? Yeah. Whereas, I'm getting these confused. Jordan's championships and numbers, that's what matters. With Jay, we've talked about this before. Kanye has more classics than Jay-Z. It's just not even close at this point. What Jay has is incredible longevity.
Mm-hmm.
He reached the point where, like, it's almost like, in a weird way, like, actors get to a place where they're not, like, acting a role, but they're just playing themselves, and it becomes like Tom Cruise is acting because he's, like, making a Tom Cruise movie. Like, Jay's just making Jay-Z music.
Yes, he is. Right? I agree with that. Yeah.
Right? Like, his longevity is so unparalleled in hip-hop. I don't mean people who are still around making records. I'm talking, like, time in the popular consciousness,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if, like, so, you know, Reasonable Doubt was 96 and that wasn't even that big, but even if you want to point like 90, even if you want to take all the way back to like, say, 98, right? 98 when he really became like mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
98 until now, he has been a fixture releasing albums. He retired briefly, even though he never really stopped making music, but he was always in the popular sort of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
For a rapper, that is an insane number of years in a row.
Yeah. The average rap career is 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Rap career.
Right. He is the first equivalent of like the Rolling Stones for rock.
Mm.
Right. Proving that apparently it is somehow possible to rap as you get older. Now, look, the parallels are interesting, right? Because a lot of these, like, the Rolling Stones, like, people don't go to Rolling Stones concerts expecting to hear music they put out last week.
Right.
Right. And we'll see how if this still works for Jay when he eventually stops making records.
Right.
Is he still going to be able to go tour and do stuff like that? But it's the first interesting glimpse at, hey, maybe hip-hop doesn't have to be exclusively, quote-unquote, young people music.
Right.
Right? And Kanye quietly has been making albums for a decade now. We don't think of him as being around that long, but he has.
Yeah.
With an insane catalog.
Yeah.
And he'll be on that list as well.
Yeah.
Assuming he wants to. But you think he's got an album this year?
Yeah. He's talking about putting out a single in a couple weeks, which in rap terms means 2 months.
Yeah, except it's Kanye. So, like, it could be whatever.
He could coincide this with the GQ article.
Or he could just do it. I mean, it was interesting to hear him describe a little bit of, like, the creative process sort of, you know, it seems as though he sort of works in spots. And I think it might come from starting as a producer. Like,
yeah.
Where he talked, like, this part of Ball So Hard, and he had this, and then he had this, and then he came back and finally did it. Or sort of dispelling the myth that Rick Rubin's like, oh, you know, Kanye just came in and freestyled the lyrics on the spot.
Which
more like, no, he was working on these different parts, and he just recorded at the last minute.
He just recorded at the last minute, right.
Which makes more sense.
Shoot, did that with Kairos.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, now I remember what I was going to say 15 minutes ago regarding Kendrick and his 50 songs.
What about it?
Since we're talking about...
Sure.
Some art, like, for Kairos, we only made 20 songs?
Tops.
21?
Tops.
21. Even if we count the one that we just did, like, there was literally, as I'm thinking about it, I think there was one song, so it's probably 19 or 20, that didn't make the album that I wrote with the idea of this is going on Kairos. Like, for some people, yo, let's make 50 songs, da 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 da. I think that as an artist, and this goes to your point earlier about, you know, how did he do that with the narrative, is like, excuse me, you want, as an artist, you, especially today, you want to say what you came to say as quickly as possible one time, which is why the concept of 20 songs doesn't make sense anymore. 9, 10, 6, 7 songs, all of them hitting a specific topic and hitting a specific topic as well-rounded as you possibly can. As opposed to, let's do 50 songs and let's kind of touch on it here. Song 1, song 21, song 42, song 19. Like, no, no, no. Take all those verses, as Puff used to do, and make people write verses over and over and over and over. And eventually you take all those ideas from different songs and you make one super song, like Captain Planet. You take Earth, Water, Wind, and Heart, and whatever the fifth one was, like Fire, and you put them together. And when their powers combine, I am Captain Planet. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you should think as an artist. So now I understand what Kanye does when he works in spots, because sometimes you just blank out. Like, I know I want to end with this line. I know I want to end with this statement, but I still have 5 bars that I need to fill in. I don't know how to fill that in. Let me go away and work on something else because I'm still feeling creative. Let me come back to this tomorrow, next week, 6 months from now.
Right.
And then I know that I still want to end it with this statement, or maybe I still want to put this statement in and I want to end it with a different statement because now I've gotten a greater revelation of what I wanted to say 6 months ago. It's just crazy. I say all that to say 50, 60 songs is cool, but in today's market, it just doesn't make any sense. It's rapper lore. Like, nobody cares but other rappers.
All I'm going to say is whenever you decide to release your next whatever, Armand fans are going to go back and listen to that passage and they're going to be mining it for clues. So I'm going to say,
as you should. Like, look, I dropped so many clues and hints and tweets and statuses. I was tweeting.
Drives me crazy. I just want to tweet back. Shut up.
I know. I was tweeting lines from Snooze Button 3 like 3 months before the album came out.
Right.
And nobody caught it. Nobody.
That's such a rapper thing to do.
It is a rapper thing. All right. I'm
as
a
long
rapper.
As you admit it. As long as, hey, just, you know, admit it.
Okay. I get.
You get it.
No. I get it. Some people get upset. Shout out my homie Taylor Gray, who was like, you know, sometimes the way that you guys talk about rapping makes me not want to rap. It was kind of funny when he said it, because he's like, these are rapper things that we do, as crazy and as goofy and, you know, as weird as they sound. Like, you know, yeah, it's bad, but it's just what rappers do.
We could do a similar thing about producers, but that's not really as fun. I mean, we could. Maybe it is. Maybe it's fun for as a rapper to think that way. But like, producers do stereotypical stuff all the time. We think that, you know, we make something and then we listen to it for like 15 minutes in a row and we've convinced ourselves it's the greatest thing ever. So we send it to people we know and then we wait and then we send it out somewhere. We're like, wait, you know, and then we come back the next day and be like, nah, that's awful.
Yeah, absolutely.
We reuse the same drums over, over, over. There's all sorts of like silly little things that producers do, but I don't know.
It's just something that I think it's just a creative thing.
Right, but I don't know. Rappers are funnier because they're more in the public eye. Like that's more of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's okay for producers to not be, you know, always on 10. Rappers have always been called to be perfect in whatever they are. Like, if you're going to be like the smooth, suave rapper, you've always got to be smooth and suave. If you're going to be a gangster rapper.
Did you say suave?
I said suave.
What is this? 97?
Yes, it is. This lets you know how little I listen to today's
suave.
This lets you know what I listen to in my car.
You gotta say that with the Razor Ramon accent.
You stupid suave. Now I have to throw a toothpick. Speaking of that, yeah. Let me shut up. But no, this whole summer has been, you know, teach my daughter a whole bunch of songs that she's never heard in her life. Come on, I listened to Camp Lo the other day, like. I played her the remix to Coolie High with the Lady in My Life sample and had her pick out the sample. Like, what sample is this? Then played her the part in Lady in My Life. And she was like, oh, that's what I'm doing this summer.
Right.
So am I listening to DJ Mustard? Not really. Not really. Not because I don't like it. I'm just somewhere else right now.
Anyway, anything else you want to say about these Kanye and Kendrick interviews?
No, other than they were good reads. Kanye's is with GQ and Kendrick's is with Complex Magazine. So if you have not read them, highly suggest you go check them out. They're both really good reads, especially the Kanye one. Kanye one's a really, really good read.
Right. It's actually, yeah, it's really good. It's funny. We were sort of talking a little bit about NBA stuff.
GQ. I'm just realizing GQ writes pretty good hip hop articles. Their D'Angelo interview was excellent. Their Rick Ross interview was hilarious. Like they do all right with hip hop features.
The guy who did this, I believe he used to work at Grantland. I don't know where he worked before then.
Okay.
But it looks like they've been stocking up on talent. But so we made some quick references to LeBron because we're making the comparison. But while we were away, some things happened with Mr. James.
Yeah.
He chose Cleveland.
He went back home. Yep.
And then that kicked off a whole chain reaction of basically every small forward in the East switched. No.
right.
We don't really have to get into all that stuff because everybody's heard that by now. It's kind of old news. But what's in the news right now is still this notion of, you know, are they going to trade for Kevin Love or not? And do you have any thoughts as an Ohioan about Mr. James returning?
I understand why he did. I'm shocked I didn't pick up on this before, but it just made total sense. It just makes absolute total sense. I mean, you know, like even though he played for Miami, he was always in Ohio. Like, soon as the season was over, he was coming right back to Akron. So it just makes sense. I'm not mad at it. The city or the state is on fire right now. Like, they are chomping at the bits, waiting for October to come, you know, to come see him play or whatever. They've absolutely accepted him with open arms. I mean, like any other, you know, bitter ex who, when the significant other decides that they want to work it out, of course they're like, I never hated you. I was just mad. I was just saying that to get you mad, all that stuff. So, but yeah, it's a good thing. I'm not mad at it.
Were you surprised when you heard it?
A little bit. But you know, it's not like he was going. Like, I would have been shocked if he went to like Phoenix or something like that, or the Lakers, and be like, whoa, why?
Right.
That would have been shocking, but. You know, the fact that he's going there, I mean, his letter, whoever wrote his letter, is his pen is made of solid gold and his ink is the blood of Jesus. So it was just written so well. It was the complete opposite of the decision. It showed growth. It showed maturity. He refers to himself as an old head. He wants to help the team. He wants to help the city. He's bringing all his money to the city. Like, it just makes sense.
There's a little bit of BS in that, though, right?
What?
In LeBron's letter.
What's that?
What he learned was, if anything, the big, I mean, yeah, he, I'm sure he learned, and because he just got older, but the big lesson from the decision was really a lesson in how the world perceives you,
right? Sure.
That you need, I'm sure when they did the decision, what they were thinking about is the money that they made for the Boys and Girls Club. $3 million.
Sure.
Right, what they didn't understand is the optics.
Yeah,
right? They didn't understand how it was going to look to the outside world. So
made you $3 million, but I'm leaving you.
Right, but you yeah. know, instead he said all the things that people want to hear.
I mean,
whether
because
it's true or not, almost doesn't matter.
He's not built to be a bad guy. He tried to like embrace that, and I think that was one of the many things that led to him having that first season in Miami. Albeit, it was still a successful season. They went to the finals, but there was too much going on.
I don't disagree with that, but I just think in general, like, I mean, I think he left Miami because NBA players have so little leverage historically.
Yeah.
You're drafted and you have no choice of where you go, unless you pull a Steve Francis. Right. You have no choice of where you're going. The NBA contracts are set up so that they make it so that you have to turn down money in order to leave after your rookie deal. And then once you're signed, the team that has you gets to pay you more money. In the NBA, it's not a free market. Because if it were a free market, LeBron and whoever he wanted to play with would go start their own team and play for themselves. But
right.
The NBA doesn't allow that. It's not a free market. There's limitations. In fact, it's a world constructed where there's a cap on how much the salaries can be, but there's no cap on seat prices. There's no cap on TV money. It is a ridiculous economic construct where the owners make so much money and have every bit of leverage. And then we have a story constructed around sports in our culture where it's, you're not playing for yourself. You're not playing because it's a job. You're playing for the city.
Right.
So
right.
Players have so little leverage. LeBron took a first little bit of stab at this notion of leverage in 2010, and he fully understands it now. He will never sign a 4 or 5 year deal again.
No.
I shouldn't say never. Assuming his body holds up, if he makes it to like 38, maybe he signs a longer deal then, but he'll have the leverage to see, then it'll be now people want to sign him for longer. He has the leverage to come in as shorter. Ultimately, what he's going to want is Cleveland's going to want to sign him to a 2 year deal eventually because he's getting older and they want to hedge their bets, and he'll have the leverage to command another. But he understands that you have to, the owners aren't your friends. Their objective is to make money and limit their risk. And they have constructed a world where they can only pay LeBron James a certain amount. So forget the owners. Forget whatever Miami did for you because they will dump you in a heartbeat. They do not care. So anytime a player has any amount of leverage, I am all for it because they have so little. So Kevin Love, I actually wish that right now I don't know if he understands or if he's willing to put up with the public heat for the amount of leverage he could have. If he wants to go to a team, he could go right now on ESPN or have it leak out or however he wants to accomplish it. Basically saying, I want to play for this one team, right? Because when you do that, you destroy the leverage that Minnesota has. Minnesota has leverage right now because there's three teams that want Kevin Love that theoretically
who's the third team?
Chicago, Golden State, and Cleveland.
Oh, Golden State. Do the Lakers still want him?
They want him. They don't have any assets.
They got room to sign two maxes.
That's next year.
Oh, that's next year.
The thing is, because this is Kevin Love's last year. He'll be a free agent. So that's why he has leverage, because he could just say, look, you could trade me there, but I'm not going to sign with them. So what team's going to trade give up a ton of assets for a year of Kevin Love if he's publicly said he doesn't want to play there? Like, I think he's obviously would play with LeBron, and I think it's at least been reported that he would be okay with playing in Golden State. So that gives Minnesota all the leverage. If he came out and said, if he told Minnesota and then somehow was leaked to be made public that he just will own, that the only people he wants to play for is Cleveland. Everybody else, who knows? They got to take their chances. The trade market would totally change.
Yeah, but doesn't that like kind of force Minnesota to like jerk back? So if Cleveland doesn't give them what they want, they like raise the stakes. So they're like, all right, Cleveland, if you want them now, you have to kind of what they're doing now.
Because Cleveland can say, look, we know we're the only team he wants to be traded to. Here's your offer, and it's fair. That's it. It's like if you walked into a car dealership and your wife or spouse or significant other called the dealer and said, Armand, he only wants to buy a car from you. You're done. You aren't getting a deal. You destroy the leverage. Love's objective, if he's actually interested in playing in Cleveland, his objective should be keep Andrew Wiggins on that team and join that team somehow. And you do that by destroying the leverage. Forget the owners. I just realized I've been talking for like the past 5 minutes.
Play to win the game. That's what you sound like.
Seriously, though, everybody got mad at LeBron because he made it clearly obvious that he was going to run the show in 2010. He didn't show the proper amount of deference. He didn't show he didn't know his place. And that's why people got mad, because he's an athlete and you're supposed to play for the team and blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares.
They make the narrative about the city and all that, like you said. I got you. I got you. I got you. I agree. I agree. I agree. I always say the narrative of, if you're working for a company and you have the opportunity to work for another company in another state, and maybe it's not as much money as you're making at said company, but it has a higher ceiling. You have the opportunity to progress your career further and achieve what you want to achieve. What are you going to do? Like, stay for the city? Or are you going to go and do what's best for you and your brand and your vision and your goals? Like, you're going to move. You're going to take that other job.
Right.
That's basically what LeBron did. Like, you have to put it in plain terms. things like playing for the city, and you know, those are emotional things. And, you know, you think out of your emotions, you know, you get emotional. Carl Thomas, listen to that album and tell me what happens when you listen to that album. You get emotional. Start going through your phone, going through old pictures, put on a turtleneck sweater.
Nobody needs to do that. Either part of that. The turtleneck sweater or the going through your phone.
It was bad. Dope album though. That was a bad time.
What are your thoughts on Kevin Love? You think he's going to Cleveland?
You know what? This reminds me a lot of when LeBron asked for help and they were going to get Amari and they kept JJ Hickson instead. Mm. This is what this reminds me of.
Yeah, but I'd say J.J. Hickson versus the promise of Andrew Wiggins is a little different.
No. I'm not comparing them literally. I'm saying that you've got to upstart right. with potential. Granted, Wiggins, we could say, I mean, I don't want to base it off of summer league, but, you know, Wiggins could have a higher ceiling than Hickson. That's a safe bet to make. But, you know, do you go for the sure thing in Kevin Love? They still don't have a big man in Cleveland. I don't know what it is about LeBron and not wanting to work with big men unless it was like Ilgauskas or something like that. Like, that's the only big man that LeBron has ever willingly worked with. I don't know if I count. What's his name? What's the dude's name with the hair?
Verisha?
Yeah, I don't know if I count him as a big. I mean, he's a big.
You mean a center?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, because honestly, in a perfect world, they would get Love and they keep Wiggins, because I want to see Kyrie, Wiggins, and LeBron on the same team. So the NBA Jam fan in me wants right. to see the three of them right. together. The other side of me understands that Kevin Love is a safer bet, and I like to see him in Cleveland too. But
Utah just traded three non-guaranteed contracts to Cleveland.
Really?
They're trying to get a bunch of contracts, because apparently Minnesota is determined, this is from Wojo's Twitter, they are determined to unload Kevin Martin and JJ Barea in a Love deal.
I just saw that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you're telling me they gotta take on Kevin Martin, JJ Barea, give up Andrew Wiggins, and we're already assuming that probably includes what, Bennett? Who's looked better?
Bennett's looked better.
Does that include Deion Waiters?
They're saying it could.
And a number one. That's a lot to give up.
That's a lot. That's not enough. That's too much for Kevin Love.
Kevin Martin, he can still shoot. JJ Barea, who knows?
You've got shooters. They just signed James Jones, Mike Miller. They're trying to get Ray Allen. Like, LeBron has his shooters that he wants.
Right.
Honestly, I'll take Mike Miller over Kevin Martin. I'll take Mike Miller and his 80-year-old knees over Kevin Martin. I will. But Kevin Martin can shoot. You're right. He can.
He can, but that's a lot.
That's a lot.
I don't know if that team makes any sense if you do that. That
it doesn't at all. So who's your two? So is Kevin
Wiggins.
Martin who's your No, I'm set. No.
Oh, you're trading.
If they trade him,
yeah, Kevin Martin.
JJ Barea, like, okay, so JJ Barea is your
backup. He's your third guard off the bench.
Who's the second? Who's their second point?
Barea's a point.
No, you said third point guard off the bench.
I meant third guard in general.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so who's your two? Who's your starting two?
Kevin Martin.
You funny. No. I know that's the answer. That's not the answer.
Him and the ghost of Ray Allen apparently are gonna split time. I don't know.
The ghost of Ray Allen.
Ray Allen should not be. He should not be starting.
What was that movie? The Sixth Man. The man's like, that's what that reminded me of.
He should not be starting.
Not at all.
So, yeah, I don't know. That, you know, I know Cleveland's got a lot of youth, and I hear that. I understand that they want to win now with LeBron. I think that's a good idea, but that seems to be giving up an awful lot.
That's an awful lot. And that, to me, doesn't seem to be long term. That's like,
you're basically saying Kyrie, LeBron.
You're putting
and
all
Love.
The weight on LeBron.
Well,
it's
how's
Kyrie
that?
Kyrie, LeBron, and then.
And Love.
Yeah, no, that's not winning. That's not winning in this. You got beat again. You got beat by every player who had on a Spurs uniform last year, and they signed all of them back. You're not beating them with the three of them and Comic Sans Dan in the rafters like Sting. That's just not going to happen.
He apologized. He did.
Kind of.
He should have apologized in public, but you know.
He should have apologized for his suit and jean combo.
Is that like a
That's a that is a thing for That's how I know. If you ever see me wear that, ask me $400. Because I got it. Because I got
it. Are you wearing jeans that are a little too baggy at the bottom and like the bottoms are still like a little, like they're a little worn?
No.
Like you just like MJ?
I'm not wearing MJ. That's also like the middle-aged black man Baptist church on casual Sunday outfit too. No. I'm wearing the worn 501s.
Oh, that dad jeans. Fit. The dad jeans.
I'm wearing dad jeans.
You're wearing Jerry Seinfeld jeans.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm asking you for money. You're right. I'm asking you for money.
Yeah, ask me for bread. Ask me for advice. Investing advice. Like I've got some good stocks that I could, you know, kind of put you onto. Buy low, sell high. I got you. You ever see it's like it's a brown like corduroy and it's got the elbow patches on there. It's a different color. Come holler at me.
Kind of. I mean, there's like when we're talking a suit. See, the difference is like you will definitely see older guys who their idea of being casual is wearing on the like taking the tie off, still keeping the same suit jacket on.
Yeah, no tie.
But it's the suit jacket. It's not a sports coat. There's a difference, right? There are casual like a blazer. There's like a more casual
that's what I'm
blazer.
Thinking. I'm thinking of a blazer.
There's a more casual blazer that you can rock with jeans and it looks right. You know, go to J. Crew. Like they get that. There's a look that can be constructed
there. That's different.
What it's more older guys do like. No, this is the same jacket I wear with the same shirt I wear, but it's open at the collar. Depending on how old and how rich you are, that means more buttons are coming undone until you become Donald Sterling and it's down to your navel. And
you've got that shirt like it's not tucked in and bloused out. It's just your gut is just hanging over the belt. And your first two buttons are open and your undershirt is the same color as you have on a white dress shirt. Your undershirt is white and you've got at least two or three buttons unbuttoned. At least. You've got a gold watch, and you've got either a pinky ring or a third ring, a class ring.
Something.
A man. Something.
And your dress shoes are shiny.
Very, very. They're airport shiny.
Airport shiny.
Or you've got on a night, you've got a good pair of Rockports.
Oh.
If you're old enough.
That's a different kind of old man dress.
Oh, I'm dressing terrible when I get a lot of money. I'm buying every sneaker and every stitch of clothing that I couldn't afford as a child and as a young adult.
So, here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a 40-year-old Armand that gets rich and just starts wearing throwbacks and Bapes and like that.
Oh my God. No, I would wear like a blazer with a jersey underneath it.
That look might have been pulled off. Hold on. I need to.
I'm sure you could find like Fabulous or Joel Santana, some early 2000s rapper.
People can hear me typing.
There you go. You'll see me in like a random, like I have random LeBrons on. I have some old, not all these weird color Jordans. Now I sound old. All these weird color Jordans. Nope. Only OG colors. Maybe some Kobe's or something. The last few Kobe's have been kind of dope. Like I do something like that. Good pair of New Balances, like we talked about, you know, like creating our own New Balance, something like that. You know what I'm saying? We need to get a sponsor so we can make some like black and yellow Clock Radio speakers, New Balances, and like hold a contest and give them away.
Anyway, I think that about does it for side A of this week's Clock Radio speakers. Thank you all for listening. Check us out on clockradiospeakers.com for side B.
We hope you enjoyed side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.